You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Allstriker of Ravens Wire. On Location is the official hospitality partner of the NFL. It's the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information or search Super Bowl On Location. We return here. It's Tacos Tuesday on Locked On Ravens. And here with me today to dive into the Ravens' pretty heartbreaking 20-19 loss of the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 13 is Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. Spencer, the Ravens fall to 8-4. Pittsburgh moves to 6-5-1. The Ravens lose on a two-point conversion attempt. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well. Obviously, the Steelers handle business there. Comes down to the wire. So many Ravens games have this week or this year, but it's been a lot of fun to watch. This team is entertaining. Content out the wazoo. It is never boring. It is never dull. It is exciting. It is fast. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's a lot of fun to watch. So ultimately, the Ravens still in first place in their division, still going to be, unless the Patriots are able to thwart off the Bills, no worse than the second best record in their conference. Still one of the better records in football. John Harbaugh is a coach that's been successful in December and January, especially as of late and over the last couple of seasons. And he's going to have to rally the troops, duct tape and gorilla glue what he can, and figure out ways to beat teams on a week-to-week basis as they have done this season. They have won twice as many games as they've lost. They've been fighting with one hand tied behind their back all year, and they're going to continue to have to do so. So it is an exciting time. While obviously it hurts to lose to the Steelers every single time and see Big Ben with a smile on his face. And it was pretty funny there seeing him go from kind of that coy smile to look pretty concerned and looking up at the scoreboard and bleak. And then the game came down to the final play, a play that basically lied on the shoulders of an MVP quarterback, a $100 million edge rusher, and a $50 million tight end. And the Ravens couldn't get it done. So here we are, and let's break it down.
Yeah, let's do it. And, you know, I feel like if you were shown, or anybody was shown, just a list of the injuries that the Ravens have gone through this year, whether it's on a week-to-week basis, season-ending basis, and you told them, hey, this team's going to be 8-4 through 13 weeks, you would probably say, no way. No way at all. But this is what John Harbaugh's done. It's next man up for them. But in the Steelers game, it was obviously disappointing. They weren't able to come out on top. We'll talk about that two-point conversion in a few minutes. But Spencer, I do want to start off here with Lamar Jackson. You know, him coming off of a four-interception game in Week 12 against Cleveland. A lot of people were expecting some sort of a bounce-back performance from him, and it just didn't really come. It didn't really happen. And Jackson ended up finishing this contest 23 of 37, 253 yards, one touchdown, one interception. But that doesn't really tell the entire story here. Jackson was holding onto the ball for a bit too long in a lot of situations, some poor decision-making. It was a game where you kind of look at it and you say, you know, maybe the Steelers are Lamar Jackson's kryptonite at this point. He's 1-2 against them. He hasn't really played well in any of the games he's played in. So, Spencer, coming off of Week 12 with four interceptions, having this game in Week 13, and honestly having a bit of struggles over this past month for him, what do you feel like are the biggest concerns with Lamar Jackson's game right now, and how do you think he can improve upon them?
Well, it just feels like he's reached this Goldilocks mental state where he was in a good place early in the season, has some mistakes, is able to produce a ton of heroics, put up some prolific box score, you know, stat stuffing games early on. And then there reached a point, and it felt like the real crux of that was the Miami Dolphins game where he was holding the ball too long, not throwing in rhythm, not getting the ball out before the rush could get home, not picking defenses apart underneath. And that kind of exposed some weaknesses in the Ravens offense and in where Lamar Jackson was currently, a quarterback that always holds the ball long among, or if not the longest of any quarterback in the NFL, regardless of offensive line play. He usually always takes over 3 seconds average time to throw from the snap to the time the ball leaves his hands. So that definitely forced him to try to speed things up. And he tried to speed things up against the Browns. And he missed a robber come down in too high shell, roll down in coverage, and throws it to Grant Delpit. And starts trying to make plays happen quickly. So it was, you know, too cold against the Dolphins. And then it's too hot against the Browns. You obviously wedge his illness in there. He misses some practice time, misses some reps, misses kind of that fluidity and consistency at all, and is getting asked questions and bouncing around. And of course he was sick, man. So, you know, it's not excuses. It's just the reality of the situation. And so now in the Steelers game, the Ravens open and they march down the field, convert a couple third downs, fight a couple, you know, battles. And he does exactly what he did last week, which is just high volatility play. He kind of, you know, gets a free runner at him and then tosses the ball up looking for Mark Andrews. And guess what? It was the fifth time he's been intercepted targeting Mark Andrews. And it was the first drive of the game. When you're in Pittsburgh in Ben Roethlisberger's final home game against the Ravens, you march down there. And in this rivalry, you got to take field goals. You got to throw balls away. Ultimately, it was a microcosm of, you know, this game was a microcosm of what Lamar Jackson needs to do. And the same kind of things happened to Patrick Mahomes this year. The same kind of things have happened to Tom Brady and, you know, Peyton Manning and Dan Marino. And every quarterback goes to these points in time where they start pushing it a little bit too hard. They want to make these big plays and they're not allowing themselves to go take three, have a nice opening drive and not have a terrible play. Do you want to punch the ball in? Yeah. Have the Ravens been struggling to do so? So that adds a little bit of extra pressure. Absolutely. So, you know, all that mental warfare of the blitzes and the edge rushers and trying to be too fast, trying not to be too slow, and trying to find it just right. So hopefully he's able to find that Goldilocks just right at some point here soon. And lost in all of that is that we saw a quarterback come out against the Las Vegas Raiders and early in the season who was standing with a sturdy base, being almost a 6'3 quarterback. Guy's about 6'3, stand tall in the pocket, deliver over top and drive the ball, the nose of the football down and out to the sideline. And he's gotten away from that. He's not doing it. Does the Ravens offensive line fail to consistently give him a ton of clean pockets? Yeah, but sometimes they do. They don't get beat every play. They don't get beat, you know, more. They win more than they lose. So sometimes teams bring more than they can block. Then that's where the one problem is. But when they don't, he still hasn't been performing well in clean pockets. He drops his eyes. He's not opening his front foot. He's not opening his hips. He's not driving the ball. He's struggled, especially trying to throw around defenders instead of just putting the ball over top. And it feels like he has this fear of batted passes happening, and he keeps trying to skip rocks, and he can make some really spectacular, you know, awe-inspiring throws, but where's the consistency there? You're starting to see some accuracy troubles as a result of it, and it all is compounded. It's all relevant. You know, the Ravens pass game, I think there's a grand irony that it comes out. Lamar Jackson's, you know, on pace to throw for well over 4,000 yards early in the season. And, oh, well, good thing they brought in T. Martin and Keith Williams. And then the narrative shifts when the pass game struggles to, oh, it's Greg Roman's fault. So the success goes to those two. The failure goes to Roman. And it's just a lack of consistency there overall. I think he hasn't had a ton of time with his guys lately. The Ravens are probably practicing not to get guys hurt at this point because they can't afford anymore. But at this point, you know, Marlon Humphrey gone. You got three All-Pros on the injured reserve that have been All-Pros in the last two, three seasons. And it's a tough place to be in. But Lamar Jackson's got to make the right play and do so more consistently. He's straight up not doing that right now. And the Ravens are struggling as a result of it. You have to kick field goals when you can. And in this Steelers game, the lesson to be learned is that you can't be the one to make the mistake. You can't be the one to throw the pick. You can't be the one to panic, to blink, to flinch, to jump. You have to remain stoic in your mental game and be able to force the other team to beat you and wait for them to make a mistake. And in this game, even spreading beyond Lamar Jackson, which we'll get to, but you know, you see a blown coverage again where Marlon Humphrey and Anthony Averett don't communicate a switch or aren't understanding who's going to go where, and they let up a long touchdown to Diontae Johnson. So the Steelers didn't make mistakes in this one too often. The ones that they did, you know, got away with, we'll get into all that a little bit more, but Lamar Jackson just needs to relax, sit in the pocket, get the ball out, use the check down, you know, be confident and don't let any of the outside noise or anything else get to him and play with a more calm demeanor. It's okay to take sacks. It's also really okay to throw the ball away, which is something that we haven't seen him do enough of. Plays like where in that opening drive, you know, TJ Watt is starting to pull on his left shoulder. He's got his arm free with the football in his hand and no one else around him, and takes a sack trying to break out instead of throwing the ball away and mitigating loss. So all of those things are part of the growing process. And I think what we're seeing is kind of like the teenage young adult years of a NFL quarterback that has a lot of weight on his shoulder, a lot of pressure on him. And he's making some mistakes, but it happens to everyone. And just as well as he was playing earlier in the season, he's played just as poorly as of late. There's still five football games left. Quarterbacks, players, teams, coaches, organizations go through slumps, and they've got to bust out of them. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think we all know the player Jackson is, and he's struggling right now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He does have to play better. You know, throwing the ball away, as you talked about, is a huge part of that. Just being able to recognize game situations. You mentioned just throwing the ball away, taking the points and getting out of there instead of trying to make something out of, you know, really. He's done it. We saw it, you know, backing up in week 12, throwing the ball to Mark Andrews. He comes down with it. You know, he's trying to do something similar in week 13. It doesn't go his way. So it's not always the right play. Sometimes the right play is just to get the ball out and live to see another down. But Spencer, this team was close. Despite Jackson's struggles, despite some of the defensive struggles in the fourth quarter, the Ravens scored a touchdown with less than a minute left. And instead of going for the tie, going for overtime, John Harbaugh likes to go for two. And this is either, you know, for win or for losing. You either win the game on the two-point conversion or you lose the game. Now, the play itself, I mean, it was there. Now, TJ Watt comes unblocked. Lamar Jackson kind of has to adjust a little bit. The conversion just bounces off of Mark Andrews' hand. It was, you know, just inches away. Did you agree with the call, Spencer, to go for two in that situation instead of playing for overtime and potentially trusting Lamar Jackson and the offense to go down the field or the defense to stop Pittsburgh on that first possession? And also in that play, the two-point conversion play, was it anybody's fault? You know, was it Jackson's fault? Was it Andrews' fault? The offensive line? What was the reason for that play not working, or was it no one's fault?
Well, I don't think it's more or less a decision for me to agree or disagree with. It's just who the Ravens are. They go for it. They attack wins, and they make the opposition beat them. But in this case, they beat themselves. So, go with the call, do or do not. There is no try, whatever you want to say about it. I can hear you. You know, you want to play in overtime, fine. You don't want to play in overtime, you want to go for the win, fine. Ultimately, it feels like you're there with a chance to win the game. After you just drove down the field, have the Steelers reeling, kind of have the air out of that stadium, so to speak. I'm sure it was loud, but I'm sure that the, you know, anxiety was at an all-time high. He rips a ball in to Sammy Watkins. It was an unbelievable throw. And I think that's something that gets lost in this game and lost on the failed two-point conversion is how excellent Jackson was in that final drive. So all the things that we just talked about a minute ago, you know, at the same time, he was great at the end of the game, as he has been so many times this year. So yeah, go for it. That's your DNA. That's who you are. That's your football religion. You know, your Lutheran, Catholic, you know, Buddhist, whatever it is. You believe in going for it as a football team. That's what they do. They're aggressive that way. And then you hear Harbaugh come back. At that point, fans didn't know Marlon Humphrey suffered a season-ending injury. And you're watching your defense really struggle after the Steelers start going tempo. So you go tempo and it works. And do you want to leave it up to a coin toss or do you want to go attack a win? Then the play call works. They're confident in the play call. They split Mark Andrews under. They run a boot. And they figured, hey, TJ Watt is going to come, you know, flying downhill and want to, you know, get in Lamar Jackson's face as he did. And then again, it comes back to Lamar Jackson for me. You know, you can blame Andrews and Jackson on both ends. Andrews comes up, you know, shuffling instead of running. And at the same time, Jackson, instead of just trying to deliver a quick, you know, little floater over top, a short little quick floater and beat TJ Watt to the punch, he tries to bend it around him, flattens an angle, creates a tough throwing angle, and then puts a little bit too much mustard on the ball. And Mark Andrews wasn't running. So it's both of their faults. It's everyone's fault or it's no one's fault. So I think that it was a nice play call. I think it worked and it failed. It was right there and then it wasn't. Sometimes you kick a ball and it's going right down the middle and then it veers off. It's just, you know, the variables and the variables and the variables. So the Ravens have lived and died at the end of these games this year. Chiefs, Vikings, Colts, all, you know, Bears, Raiders, all these different games. And we saw them lose this one. They couldn't make it happen. I think that, you know, Jackson, I would like to see him. I think it is, a microcosm of some other issues of something we kind of saw Tyler Huntley do that he wasn't terribly accurate on, but he didn't struggle to get the ball out on time because he's throwing over top of defenders with a sturdy base. And it's not to say that Tyler Huntley gives the Ravens anything that Lamar Jackson doesn't, but looking at some of these things and looking at some of these mistakes, it just feels like, you know, within this own mental makeup of Lamar Jackson, again, when these free rushers come, he starts second guessing, well, do I try to throw it right over top of him quickly? And I feel like I have to zing it over top, or do I try to make a miss and throw, you know, go skip rocks and throw a little quarter or sidearm angle and try and throw it around them. So it's like they keep getting bit in the butt by these free rushers and not being decisive. And I'll tell you what, if you go watch a quarterback like Tom Brady or, you know, even Mac Jones or some of these lesser, these guys who have less mobility, they don't have the option of running around and trying to bend the ball around like that. So what do? They throw it over top. And a lot of the times you can get away from pressure by doing that. So I think Lamar Jackson needs to calm his feet. When he recognizes blitz, he needs to cut his drop back down to zero or one steps and quickly get the ball out. So again, you know, Andrews could have continued moving. He was expecting the ball. He kind of, you know, thought the ball was going to be right there for him and the ball was going to come out early. And so he's not running, and it wasn't. So the play got broken up. They panicked. They blinked. They were the one who jumped, and the Steelers didn't. So, I you know, you can blame it on who you want. You can debate if they should go for it or not. It was all right there for them. They could have won the game. And just like that, all of the talking points, everything that's going to be on talk radio, everything that's going to get discussed on Twitter, everything that's going to be, you know, on First Take and NFL Live and all this stuff, if that ball is an inch lower or Mark Andrews has one more step quicker or Lamar Jackson is just a little tiny bit, you know, quicker with it, takes a little bit off of the ball, then everyone's saying that the Ravens are the scrappiest team in the NFL. It doesn't matter how many close games they play. They have it in their DNA and John Harbaugh is the coach of the year and this, that, and the other. And it's just living and dying with every single win and loss in a 17 game season. So it's exhausting, but it's what we're here to talk about. So ultimately, you know, they kind of fudged up and botched it and didn't come through in the clutch after coming through in the clutch. And if you want to go to overtime when the Steelers are averaging 7.4 yards per play in the fourth quarter using tempo, you don't have Marlon Humphrey, and hopefully you get the coin toss and go put yourself in that exact same position that you're already in. It's kind of just, you know, kicking the can down the road. Why not just win it there and then? They have the play, they trust Lamar Jackson, and it didn't work out. So they would have had to trust him again anyway. And everyone's like, oh, you have Justin Tucker. Well, the Steelers have Chris Boswell. He's 7 for 7 from 50 yards this year. He's been a great kicker. He's my fantasy kicker in one of my leagues. He's been an awesome kicker. So a lot of different variables involved in a play that just missed.
Yeah, no, and you know, the difference between a close loss and a close win in terms of what people are talking about is so astronomical, because you're 100% right, Spencer. The mood would change if the Ravens had gotten that ball in, and they're 9-3, they're sitting on top of the AFC still. But just because they, you know, kind of missed out on a 2-point conversion, they lose this game, doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, they're going to lose every game. You know, we'll talk about the injuries in the final segment, but still, you know, plenty of controversy for the Ravens this season with decisions they've made and what they believe in, but they're always going to go with what they believe in. You know, that you mentioned it, they are aggressive. You know, they want to go and they want to stick it to the other team and say, look, we're going to take it to you right now. If we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. And this time they just lost. But we'll head into our first break. When we get back, we'll be talking about the Ravens defense in week 13 against the Steelers. So stay tuned for that and we'll be right back. You listen to podcasts with the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can harness all that brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks so you can do it all on the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save and the knowledge you'll gain, just how powerful you become. Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers covers not available everywhere for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away, and the official hospitality partner of the NFL On Location is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/Super Bowl 56 or search Super Bowl On Location. We return here, our second segment of this Taco Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, the Ravens defense in this week 13 matchup against Pittsburgh started off pretty strong, forcing multiple three and outs on this Pittsburgh offense, really making them work for their yards. And also, they just weren't on the field a ton because the Ravens were taking up 9-10 minutes on their drives. You know, the time of possession discrepancy was huge in this game. The Ravens still losing, but the fourth quarter was where the struggles began and really ended for this defense. 17 points by Pittsburgh in the fourth quarter. You talked about the up-tempo in the first segment. What was the difference? Was it the up-tempo between the first three quarters and the fourth quarter that really caused this Ravens defense to struggle? We saw some miscommunications, more untimely big plays. Why did this defense start off so well and then just completely struggle at the end of the game?
I definitely think tempo is an answer that we've seen Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Peyton, you know, all the classic quarterbacks who have had success against the Ravens over the years use, whether it's Rex Ryan, Wink Martindale, or Dean Pease, to, you know, take the Ravens out of being able to call unique and different looks and have time to orient themselves and communicate. The Ravens defense is very much so dependent upon communication pre-snap. So going up tempo, cutting down the amount of time that they're going to be able to have to communicate, ends up in blown assignments. And we see the Steelers take advantage of a third and one situation where they launch up, they go play action on third and one, on the Pittsburgh 31 and complete a 40-yard pass after probably a 20-yard catch from Chase Claypool on a crossing route. And then the next play, Marlon Humphrey and Anthony Averett fail to communicate down the field and blow an assignment. Deontay Johnson walks into the end zone completely uncovered, one of the most open receivers. Well, I guess you could say this year for the Ravens, but they've had some struggles with that overall. And then, yeah, we see the Steelers get the ball back, go tempo again, run the ball a couple times out of it, huddle a couple times, call a timeout, kick a field goal, and then they come right back down towards the end of the game. And with, I believe, 6 minutes and 21 seconds left, they get the ball, and they get to passing the ball, zipping the ball around a little bit, run the ball a couple times, and we end up seeing a tip pass get picked, intercepted by Patrick Queen, falls right into his lap. Anthony Averett and Deontay Johnson battling on the sideline on a hitch route and gets called for defensive pass interference. From there, you know, the Steelers kind of had an eight-yard run there. They, I think, get an offside on Chuck Clark, which I thought was a smart play. And then when they're in no man's land after the two-minute warning where Chuck Clark kind of forced the Steelers to not be able to run the clock out, we see the Ravens stuff them. And then Roethlisberger gets a little zinger to Gentry, and then Deontay Johnson runs a pretty nice route and fits a ball in between the two. So tempo definitely helped a little bit. They started being able to convert some first downs. I think they got a little bit aggressive, like on the play action on third and one, and started being able to kind of run this defense around. And Ben Roethlisberger got the ball out in 2.24 seconds was his average time to throw in this one, which was the second fastest time to throw of any quarterback in any game this season. So he's just getting the ball out, negating the pass rush, and converting some downs. And there's just a couple key plays there. You know, it's basically a blown coverage and a gutsy decision on third and one to go with play action. And they get the ball to Chase Claypool. So two plays, they drive the length of the field and score a touchdown, and then come back and are able to kind of snake their way from their own 31. A couple quick passes and get it done. You know, they didn't rip the Ravens apart over top. They weren't bombing anything, but I think in that final touchdown drive, they had nothing longer than they had a 13-yard rush, and none of their other plays were more than 8 yards. So they just started going tempo and getting the ball out quickly and were able to do so with rhythm. That's what the Steelers are good at. I think that we should have seen maybe the Ravens back off in that situation a little bit from some of the pressure looks, go play press, go too deep and try to force the Steelers to keep running the ball and doing so successfully a little bit. But the Steelers punched it into the end zone. They could have kicked a field goal and taken the lead anyway, but through, you know, like I said, Chuck Clark made a smart play to be able to prevent them from running the clock out considering timeouts. And then the Steelers, you know, did what they needed to do, and it didn't even matter because Lamar Jackson drove down the field and scored a touchdown anyway. So the defense did a nice job. They held the Steelers, I believe, 3 points through three quarters, if I'm not mistaken, and continued to, you know, play a tough game. And the Steelers just kind of took advantage of some dinks and some dunks, and Ben Roethlisberger got the ball out quickly like he always does. And I feel like at this point, with him announcing his retirement, it gave him a little bit more juice and a little bit more energy and pop in his step to get the ball out and feel like this is the last one and get the emotions riding high in Pittsburgh and in the crowd and Heinz Field and everything like that. So hopefully this defense is able to come back in January and shut them down and make some adjustments. And people laugh at that. They say there's no Marlon Humphrey. Well, last year the Ravens played a game on a Wednesday afternoon, I like to call the matinee bowl, and go to Pittsburgh with 20 starters out and stifle the Steelers for most of that game there. You know, pick them off in the end zone, force them three and outs, prevent them from running the ball. Did a really nice job in that game, especially considering. So, you know, in this rivalry, anything's possible. Jimmy Clausen has beaten the Steelers before. The Ravens backups in 2019 kicked the crap out of the Steelers in a rainy game. And we've also seen Ben Roethlisberger break his nose and then come back and beat the Ravens. So anything is possible, any game in this rivalry. And the defense, you know, did their part for the most part, aside from a couple plays down the stretch there. And Lamar Jackson did his job at the very end, tries to bail him out, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, and this defense has been playing so well over the past month. You know, obviously the fourth quarter was not great for them, but usually, you know, you give up 20 points with a Lamar Jackson-led offense as your offense, and you're like, oh, that's no problem. They're going to put up more than 20, right? And it just hasn't been there this year. But the defense, yeah, really working with just injuries, but and it's, you know, for them, it's not really next man up anymore. It's next man up, but they're still working with it, and they're still figuring out just how to adjust with all these guys out, putting in new bodies every week, it seems like. So, you know, the fourth quarter was definitely the bad one for the Ravens. But as you talked about there, Spencer, 3 points through three quarters, definitely not too shabby. It's just they have to play consistent football for a full 60 minutes. But another bit of consistency, Spencer, is their pass rush, where I want to talk to you a bit about how, I guess, inconsistent they've been. The Ravens have been kind of like a high pressure, low sack team in terms of consistency over the last couple of seasons. We'll see them have like 5 sacks or 7 sacks in a game, then have 1 sack over their next three. And over the last 3 weeks before the Pittsburgh game, they seem to have turned a corner. They were working, they were getting to the quarterback, they were getting the quarterback down. But in this game where the Steelers, you know, had kind of struggled with their offensive line a little bit, they sacked Ben Roethlisberger once. It was Calais Campbell back at the line of scrimmage that counted for no yards. Where are you personally, Spencer, on this Ravens pass rush right now? Or is this a unit that you still feel confident in, all things considered? They certainly have the talent to do a lot of great things, but do you think that this pass rush is consistent enough for them this season? Because in week 13, they had just 1 sack for no yards.
I think this pass rush is fine and dandy, to be honest. They have had high-level play out of their outside linebackers. Calais Campbell comes back. Justin Madubuike has had some quarterback hits and able to do some things, but coverage and pass rush are married the same way the pass and the run are offensively. And if you can't cover on the back end, you can't prevent Ben Roethlisberger from getting his first read successfully, then you're not going to have enough time to get home. I think the fastest sack in the NFL this year out of every single possible play was 2.1 seconds, if I believe. I'm looking at next gen stats here and I'll find it in a second, but You're not going to get pressure, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger is getting the ball in 2.2 seconds. It's not going to happen. And I think that a lot of times we want to see these sack numbers and look at these things, but ultimately we aren't going to see it when teams look at Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and see, oh, well, they seem to like to the teams that play the Ravens a lot seem to like to try to get the ball out early to prevent their pass rush from getting free rushers. So then that sparks a question of, oh, well, should they back off and you know, do that? Well, that's not what they practice in training camp. They're not, you know, trained to sit back that way consistently. That's not the type of football that's played. That's not the players that they draft and sign. And now that I'm looking at it, so there's been 2 sacks under 2 seconds this year. Shaq Thompson in week 10, Jordan Brooks in week 4. Total in quicker than Ben Roethlisberger averaged getting the ball out on Sunday, there have been 4 sacks quicker than Ben Roethlisberger's average time to throw. So getting pressure, you know, you can get there a little quicker. You can do some of those things. Ironically enough, of the top 10 fastest sacks this year, Patrick Queen, 2.24 seconds, Adafe Owe, 2.34, Tyus Bowser, 2.47, all ranking the top 10 fastest sacks in the NFL this year. So teams know that. The Ravens want to get free rushers, but if you get the ball out quickly, it doesn't matter if they have a free rusher. So holding the ball against the Ravens is typically death. And Ben Roethlisberger knows that. So to look at this game and say, oh, well, you know, the pass rush didn't do anything. Well, I would go to coverage and look in the back end that doesn't have Marcus Peters, doesn't have Deshaun Elliott. You know, Marlon Humphrey's now gone as well. They've been banged up. Guys aren't practicing a ton. Tavon Young missed practice. Jimmy Smith definitely has missed a ton of time with neck and ankle and yada, 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 and so forth. So I would say that the Ravens secondary and linebacking, you know, whoever was dropping in coverage didn't do a good enough job of forcing Ben Roethlisberger to hold the ball. And if you want to go ahead and say, oh, well, then why don't they drop 7 into coverage and go too high and things of that nature, then sure. But you're then counting on some inexperienced and maybe not the most talented players that you have to hold up in coverage for a long time, a lot of the time. So I think there's going to be a big turnover defensively in terms of personnel this year. Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell in the last year of their contracts. Derek Wolfe is a question mark too. I think they can save a little money by cutting him, who's injured again and has kind of disappointed them this year not being able to get on the field. So I think that you're going to go look and say, all right, well, we need to ensure that we have corners. Well, you got Odafe Away, Tyus Bowser, Patrick Queen, Justin Madubuike locked up. So you got to go probably draft a corner early or sign, you know, a pretty young, capable corner in free agency. Then you need to go try and get someone who can generate some pass rush up front a little bit and occupy some space with some length and try and, you know, replace Calais Campbell. If he's not going to come back, you're going to have to replace him eventually anyway. So better get a head start on that, or you end up with a situation like you have at offensive tackle. And I think that it's going to be, you know, major turnover in the Ravens defensive personnel this upcoming offseason, because they need more corners always and forever. They have a lot of picks and they need more defensive linemen, as they're going to have to get younger there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how this Ravens team attacks the offseason in 2022, because there could be quite a bit of turnover on the defensive side of the ball. We'll head into our final break, though. When we get back, we'll just talk about where this Ravens team is headed, where they can go over the course of these next 5 weeks here. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. In life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you can be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or even bound for encountering the unexpected. With beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you no matter what you're looking for. What are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today. We return our final segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olszewski, your host, still here with Spencer Schultz. And Spencer, the Ravens now sitting 8-4. They no longer are technically atop the AFC, but their record still is impressive considering how many injuries they've gone through. And those injuries did not stop in week 13 as the team lost Marlon Humphrey for the season. Pasha McCary now out for a couple weeks, it seems like, with a hand injury. The Humphrey loss is a brutal one, all things considered, not just because of the player he is, that's a big part of it, but because the secondary is just decimated for yet another season. How big of a loss is that for this team, Spencer? And just where do you think this team is right now? Where do you think they can go with how many injuries they have? Because they still have talent, but these injuries, I think, maybe have capped their ceiling a little bit, as they do with all NFL teams.
Yeah, the Ravens are just at an interesting point where they've, you know, I like to compare them to Jaime Lannister in the show Game of Thrones. They're kind of fighting with one of their hands cut off. They have three All-Pros on the injured reserve now. They're without 7, 8, 9 starters and key role players. And I think they're in a similar boat to the Tennessee Titans, two teams that have done an outstanding job treading water after injury. They start hot, suffer more injury, and I think those two teams have like nearly 40 players on the injured reserve, and both are standing in first place and sole place of their respective divisions right now. And, you know, things could certainly change. Either of them could have a full breakdown, but you have to give a ton of credit to John Harbaugh and his staff and putting themselves in situations to go win at the end of football games. They do still have their MVP quarterback, and while he has been slumping, he is dynamite and can make magic happen any given moment. Even in a Browns game where he throws, you know, 4 interceptions, he makes 2 spectacular plays in sequence to score a touchdown in a low scoring affair. And then in the Steelers game, he conducts a 99-yard touchdown drive after throwing a horrible interception. And then at the end of the game, with all of the pressure in the world on him and having played a pretty subpar game overall, he leads them down the field and throws a 50 cal bullet sniper shot to Sammy Watkins in the perfect place. And could have, you know, it was a game tying, potentially game winning, and ultimately game losing, I guess, touchdown in some way. But they are going to have to keep fighting and looking at these matchups week to week and trying to figure out ways to stop the run, get pressure, hold up long enough to get home. And they're going to have to lean on the run game. It's getting colder. It's getting windier. I can hear the wind whistling, right? You know, I'm 30 minutes outside of Baltimore where I am, and I can hear the wind whistling right now. So guess what they're going to have to do offensively? Run the damn ball. And a lot of that it's felt like, you know, with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards out, some of the quarterback runs, the bashes and the veers and the, you know, all the different options that the Ravens run, they have been a little bit hesitant to, you know, all right, well, if we've got our hands tied behind our back, we don't think we're probably not a Super Bowl team with three all pros on the injured reserve. Maybe we don't want to try and beat the crap out of Lamar Jackson's legs and head and body and joints and everything. So that's a question that you have to ask yourself. How heavily do you want to lean on Lamar Jackson in the run game? And the offensive line needs to step it up as well at this point too. Ben Powers, I don't think, has been playing very good football. I know that at this point there's two guys, especially one, Ben Cleveland's probably chomping at the bit to get back out on the field. And I think that inserting him there might be a nice little shakeup of sorts, because the line's not quite getting it done. They could do a better job in the run game for sure. But at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to have to get even more crafty with what they have offensively. We saw Greg Roman start to use Devin Duvernay a ton in the jet sweeps and a lot of that motion, kind of like what we saw Willie Snead do a lot of the time. But this time there's a little bit more bite to it with Duvernay's speed and actual ability as a ball carrier. So I think they're going to have to continue to get creative, find more ways to run the ball, find more ways to go punch the ball in once they get into the red zone and score a couple more touchdowns while figuring out defensively. I mean, how do you limit teams on a week-to-week basis? They're going to go play the Browns again, who they just played in a bloodbath 2 weeks ago. The Browns have been licking their wounds and watching tape and implementing some new strategies to probably open up their own run game and see if they can't get Baker Mayfield a little bit calmed down. And, I'm sure a lot of Ravens fans might hate to hear it, but Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson kind of in similar boats. Mayfield's kind of struggled all year a little bit more with a couple good games, but they're struggling. They're not seeing the field well. They're frantic. They're erratic. And somebody's got to be the one who won't flinch, won't jump, and won't make mistakes. So if they can win that game, the Ravens basically just need to win one more over the last month of the season. And all eyes are going to be towards Cleveland. If they can pull out a win against a team that they just completely stifled defensively, Marlon Humphrey's not there, but it's not like the Browns are really this super potent passing attack that has all these weapons and a quarterback that's been playing well, but they've had a lot of time to try and scheme some things up. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on that beat up Ravens secondary. And they're going to have to try to force Baker Mayfield to hold that football and go get him down when you're back there and see if you can't finally get some interceptions, because for whatever reason, the Ravens just, the ball can't fall in their lap, or they have hands of stone. Chuck Clark's had a couple drop ones. Marlon Humphrey's dropped probably three or four picks this year. Patrick Queen, I mentioned earlier, gets a pick and then it gets nullified on a handsy play that could have been called or not been called. The coin fell on the opposite side of what they wanted there. So got to be the one that doesn't commit turnovers, got to be the one that forces turnovers, and got to be the more disciplined team overall. So continuing to preach that message is what it's going to take for the Ravens to make a run here. But ultimately, they're not a Super Bowl team, in my opinion. I don't think even fully healthy, to be honest, that they were, a team that I was 100% confident in to go win the Super Bowl. They still have had some obstacles in front of them. They'd be a lot better if they were healthier, but it just didn't feel like this was going to be the Ravens' year with the way training camp started. And all the way through the season, they've continued to battle. Crazier things have happened, but usually the teams that win Super Bowls are the healthiest, especially late in the season. And at no point in this year has health been on the Ravens' side. Even when they get guys like Rashad Bateman back or Sammy Watkins back, it's like, all right, well, someone else is headed to IR, so what does it matter? So they just have to keep treading water. I think getting into the playoffs and potentially, maybe playing that Titans team who also has 20 players on the injured reserve is a sneaky matchup that could happen for the third straight year in the Ravens opening playoff game and the Titans opening playoff game. It could be those two teams playing each other, especially if, let's say, the Bengals, who I think are the most talented team in the AFC North right now at this point, are able to grind out some wins and win the division, then the Ravens could end up headed to Tennessee or something of the sort. So a lot of interesting football left. The Rams are going to have to come play in the freezing cold of Baltimore in January. The Packers are going to come to town as well. They're used to the cold. And the Ravens will get the Steelers again at the end of the season. So I don't know that the Ravens are a team that can win a Super Bowl by any means. I don't think that's them. But at the same time, you really don't want to be the one that has to play them, because they play everybody close. They're a disciplined team. They have playoff experience now. They're hungry. They're motivated. And they're feisty. So it's a well-coached team. And again, I just don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I don't know that I've thought that all season, but AFC is wide open. Other teams could get injured too. I think that's what kind of gets lost in the mix. And you're like, oh, well, the Ravens have a really tough schedule. Well, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he has a sprained ankle 1 week. Matthew Stafford's had some back problems. Maybe Jalen Ramsey can't go. You know, so things happen. It's a week-to-week league. It's kind of tough to make all these assumptions without being there and getting to the injury report and getting to Friday and Saturday. I mean, TJ Watt wasn't supposed to play in this game. He had got put on the COVID list on Monday and ends up playing on Sunday. So we're jumping to conclusions, it feels like. A lot of the fan base jumps to conclusions pretty quickly, but at the end of the day, they're just going to have to take it a game at a time and see if they can get to the dance. And lo and behold, the path to winning a Super Bowl, even though it feels like a very distant, remote possibility, is just very plainly put that Lamar Jackson has to get hot. So we've seen him hot. We've seen him cold. Hopefully we see him in the middle of that Goldilocks just right and then start to get hot in a good way again. So it's a tough conversation, but what can you do when you have so many players on the injured reserve?
Yeah, you roll with it, you know, next man up for them, and they're not going to give up. You know, this is a team that has an MVP on their roster in Lamar Jackson, somebody who has won them so many games. But you're right, Spencer, a lot of this team relies on what Lamar Jackson can do. They can mask some of his mistakes. The defense can pick up the slack a little bit, as we've seen in a couple weeks this season. But this team goes as far as Lamar Jackson takes them, so he has to get hot in a good way, as he talked about, and just get back to what he was doing at the beginning of the season, because he did look so cool, so calm, so collected and confident in that pocket, but it just hasn't really seemed that way over the past month or so. But Spencer, that's all I have for you today here on the show. Thank you so much for joining me here once again. What's on the docket for you this week as we head into week 14?
Just continuing to pump out film content. Watch it Wednesday on Wednesday, going back through the all 22 of this game and looking at some key plays. Going to continue putting out articles on BaltimoreBeatdown.com, and you can find the podcast at Baltimore Beatdown Podcast on Twitter. Baltimore Beatdown Podcast, anywhere where you can get a podcast, you can listen to it. You can find me at Ravens for Dummies on Twitter. You can find Baltimore Beatdown Instagram at @BMore_Beatdown on Twitter or on Instagram and all that good stuff. Thanks again for having me on. It was another great Taco Tuesday despite the Ravens loss, and hopefully we're talking about a Ravens win next week and we'll be able to see the Ravens get back to a little bit more confidence, and maybe the fan base will finally chill out a little bit, but it is doubtful. Thanks again. Make sure to reward Kevin, the man who gives you the best daily Ravens coverage, with 5 stars in those Apple podcast charts or those iTunes review charts. Share this podcast with a friend. Kevin gives you the best daily Ravens coverage. Thank you so much, Kevin, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks so much, Spencer. The links to Spencer's work, of course, will be below. Check it out. It's good stuff, I promise. But that's all that we have for you today here on Locked On Ravens. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be answering your mailbag questions, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.